settle down. I will encourage us, those of us who are in, to try as much as possible to come to the front. Those of us who are already in, except for those with children, let's come to the front. Let's come to the front so that those who will come later can sit at the back. Okay, let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Father and our God, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come into your house and into your presence this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you will teach us yourself in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, everything we are going to bring up this morning as a point of discussion, as areas where we see other people fall, Father, we are not going to fall in those areas in Jesus' name. In fact, we are not going to fall at all in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you will continue to uphold us. You will give us an understanding of your truth, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, as God will have it, we are going to be talking about Understanding Sin, Part 5. Of course, if we are talking about Understanding Sin, Part 5, it simply means we will have talked about Understanding Sin, Part 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? So, in this particular aspect of it, we are considering excusing sin. I'm sure many of us, as children of God, we have met other people who are professing to be children of God, and we are able to find out, we probably find out that maybe they live in a particular way. And when we look at the Bible, the way they live is not in keeping with what the Bible says. When you ask such people, they give all kinds of excuses to justify why things should be the way they are. So by the grace of God, God has helped us to compile a list of some of those excuses. And I'm sure when you go through this, you will also be able to remember some other excuses. As we can see from the bulletin, we have considered a few in the past. So today, we will look at a few more so we don't fall into the trap of the enemy. Two, so that those who, for whatever reason, fall into that trap, we'll be in a position to help them. Jesus said to Peter, he said, I've prayed for you that your faith be strengthened. He said, so that when thou art converted, you may strengthen your brothers. Or I pray for you that your faith fail not, so that when thou art converted, you will strengthen your brothers. So in other words, when we know, we'll be in a position to help our brethren. So let's quickly go into the bulletin. We will try as much as possible to keep to time today, because I believe we've got so much ahead of us. You can see a list of those ones we have already considered. We put them there. And we said that it is not a new thing that man will want to explain away why he's acting contrary to God's instruction. Our father, Adam, and Mama Eve were the first to do it. They had to give an excuse as to why they will not keep to what God has asked them to do. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 12 to 19 also, King Saul also gave an excuse why he would not obey God completely. You can read. We have read this before. That's why I'm not going to them. And we say, as children of God, we need to be careful not to be entangled by the web the devil weaves through corrupted knowledge disguised as freedom. That was what happened to Mama Eve. The devil twisted what God had told them. First of all, he provoked an argument. And as soon as Eve got into argument with him, he twisted things around. And we said most sins in the Bible have been related to the search for personal freedom while setting aside God's instruction. Self-expression that is against God's will. We need to check it. Today, we shall consider a few more of those excuses. Let's look at it this way. Excuse 6. Christians cannot lose their salvation. How many of us have heard that before? You've heard somebody say, once saved is forever saved. Has anyone heard that? I've heard it, praise God. Has anyone else heard it? That Christian would say, look, once you have been saved, you've been saved forever. You are a child of God. You say, how can... You see, a father can never disown his child. So once you become a child of God, irrespective of the way you live your life, irrespective of what you do, you can never lose your salvation. Again, this is one of the lies of the devil. And we say here, a good look at the Bible does not sustain such an argument. When you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, can somebody read for us, please? Romans 6, 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. So I'm sure we all know this very well. We know this very well. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Otherwise, if, as some people believe, that having come in contact with Jesus, nothing needs to change, except that we have said it by mouth that Jesus is Lord in our lives. Then, if that is true, the Bible wouldn't have said that we cannot continue in sin expecting grace to increase in our lives. And of course, there are many other verses in the Bible that tells us that something has to change in our lives once we give our life to Christ. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Read verse 13 and then verses 19 to 21. Galatians 5 verse 13. Someone else to read apart from Adeniyi, please.
Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord. Let's leave it there. That they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Does the Bible say that those that do such things, that have not given their life to Christ, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Or does the Bible say they that do such things, except, you know, and that they that do such things but have given their life to Christ will inherit the kingdom of God? Does the Bible say that? No. Everyone is lumped together in this category. Irrespective, I mean, we've said it over and over again, that this letter was actually written to Christians. It was not written to people outside the church. It was written to the people who were in the church. So in other words, everyone that is still doing this, the Bible says it's not possible for such to make heaven. You will make heaven in Jesus' name. So, it is not once saved, forever saved. That's why the Bible says we have to walk our salvation with fear and with what? With trembling. We have to be careful. He said we should take heed. Those of us who think we stand, lest we should do what? Lest we should fall. If it is not possible to fall, the Bible would not have warned us. Who are those people who stand? They are the people who are in Christ Jesus. They are the Christians who are living right. They are the Christians who are sanctified. But Jesus is saying, or the Word of God is saying, that it is possible for the person who is already standing right to fall. You will not fall again in Jesus' name. Of course, so let me quickly go. So Galatians 5:13-21 tells us that certain ways of life in a professing Christian will be a barrier to him or her entering the kingdom of God. Excuse 17. It is not as bad as some of the things other people do. How many of us have heard that excuse before? They may not exactly put it this way. You say, sister, why are you doing this? They'll say, even Pastor John does it. In fact, even Pastor John does something worse than this. Then they will tell you what Pastor John does. Even Bishop so-and-so does something even worse. Or I even know Pastor so-and-so who is doing the same thing. Or Brother so-and-so. Or Sister so-and-so. Are they not all workers in the church? What about this person and that person? Are they not ministers in the church? This person is in the choir. That person is an usher. They do exactly the same thing. So why should it be a sin for me if they are all doing it? Let's quickly look at the Bible. Each individual's work shall be tested against the standard of the Word of God. How many of us agree with this? Each individual's work will be tested against the standard of the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 13-15. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 to 15.
But on judgment day, mm-hmm. the fire will reveal the kind of work each builder has done.
Mm-hmm.
The fire will show if a person's work has any value.
Mm-hmm.
If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward.
Mm-hmm.
But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss.
Mm-hmm.
The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Uh-huh.
That is, if the builder himself is in Christ Jesus, he will escape. Otherwise, he himself, if you read King James Version, it actually says the person will be tested by fire too. So the work and what you stand for can only survive if you are living right. You see, God is not moved by how many people are on one side. It does not matter whether there are millions or billions of people on one side. What is important to God is the standard that God has set and the way of escape that he has provided through Jesus Christ. So when we accept him as our Lord and our Savior, and we are quick to be obedient to his word and live accordingly, then we will survive. Our work will survive. And we will make it in Jesus' name. So every man's work will be separately tested. Okay? So your work is not going to be tested against another man's work. Your work is not going to be tested against your pastor's work. Your work is not going to be tested against the bishop's work. Your work is not going to be tested against that man that has a big title, his work. No. Your work will be tested against the standard of God and not the standard of any man. So it is very important. It's very important. So, irrespective of your disappointments as a result of the bad behavior of some fallen Christians or people of position and titles, God will still take his decision based on the quality of your stewardship. How many of us have known some Christians that, you know, maybe they are popular, they used to preach to people, they've led a lot of people to Christ, and today they are no longer Christians? How many of us know people like that? How many? I know. Or we've read stories like that. Or people who have fallen. But that will not be an excuse with God. God will not say, because that powerful man of God, he's no longer following me. As a result, you take example from him, therefore, you are exonerated. So no excuse is enough. Praise the Lord. Some people also give the excuse that I'll repent before I die. How many of us have heard that before? People saying, let me just do it now. I know it's wrong, but I will repent before I die. I've heard, in fact, many times I've heard people say it. They say, now, look, let me just do it. This thing is so precious, it's so important. Let me just, you know, once I finish with this one, I will never do it again. So let me just do it, and then I will repent. Okay, let's look at the Bible, what the Bible has to say. I want to tell you that there is no guarantee that you'll be alive by this time tomorrow, especially if you live in sin. For someone who lives in sin, there is no guarantee that he will see tomorrow. How many of us believe that? Oh yes. If you don't, open to Psalm 37 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 37 verses 1 and 2. Mm-hmm.
For they shall soon be cut down like the grass mm-hmm. and wither as the green herbs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe let me read another one. You say, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who walk unrighteousness, that which is not upright or in right standing with God. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So that person that seemed to be doing it and getting away with it, the Bible says, be careful. Don't try to be like them. They may not even see tomorrow. In other words, you yourself, because of the way you are living, you may not even see tomorrow. So that opportunity to repent may never come. When Jesus says that his coming is going to be like the thief in the night, do you know also that his coming, for a lot of people, even before rapture comes, his coming will be like a thief in the night for a lot of people? What do I mean? When we are going to pass away, not all of us will know when it's going to happen. There are some people who will know. Some people know. Some people prepare their house. God will tell them, go and prepare your house. Am I right? He said, prepare your house. Put your house in order. When you walk well with God, he will tell you. Some people know when they are going to die. You say, put your house in order. How many of us know of stories of people like that? That they know that their time is almost here. And they will say, yes. They will say, look, I've done this, I've done that. And they get ready. Especially for somebody who lives in sin, he will not know when Jesus will call him. Even though he does not desire, you see, God does not desire the death of a sinner. It's not he does not rejoice in it. Because to every soul that is lost is a wasted effort. Every soul that is destroyed is a wasted effort. God does not want to see the death of a sinner. Yet, the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is what? Is eternal life in Christ Jesus. No excuse is good enough. So, we are therefore advised not to follow the way of the man that chooses to do evil. God takes it more seriously when someone with the knowledge of God decides to sin willfully. What does the Bible say about that? About willful sin. It says there is no remission. There's no remedy. Once we have the knowledge of God and we decide to set it aside and say, look, let me finish committing this sin. When I finish, then I will repent. I will never do another one again. And how many of us can say such people never do another one again? You still end up doing it again. Until you make up your mind and covenant with God and put an end to it. You know, in my work, I happen to have the opportunity of looking after people who have maybe drug, alcohol problems, and you counsel them. Do you know the success rate when you try to treat such people? What the success rate? You may not know, it's about 20%. So, it's usually about 20%. Only about 20% will ever be able to achieve abstinence. Yes, is that bad? And I'm sure you know people. Maybe in the village, maybe some of those old brothers who used to smoke marijuana, cannabis, ganja. When you go back home after 20 years, you still see them the same way. They have not been able to change. And people will have spoken to them. They say, look, once I finish, you see, it's my New Year resolution. At the end of this year, you will never see me smoking. Next year, they will do the same thing. So there is no room for postponing it or giving excuse. When God calls us to repentance, we have to repent immediately. Let's not procrastinate, because we don't know when God will come. Praise the Lord. We have some 5 minutes just to go around the house. What other excuses do we know that people give for remaining in sin? You know, this is what the Bible says. They are doing contrary, but when you ask them, people give various reasons. What other excuses? There are a few here. There are quite a few here. But what other excuses have you encountered so we can discuss it? That people have been telling you that God is what? He's a merciful God. And I think we have considered it at some stage that God is full of mercy. The other thing that goes with that is what? Is grace. So they say God is merciful, God is gracious. And as we read this morning, what does it say? Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. God forbid. The mercy of God draws us near to Him. With His mercy, He draws us to Him. But only those who accept His mercy will be saved. Only those who accept His mercy. People who don't accept His mercy, for example, somebody did something wrong and they're about to be punished for it, and they are told, okay, I'm ready to let you go, provided you tell me. And our parents used to do this to us when we were little. Provided you tell me, you will never do it again. Am I right? He said, will you ever do this again? And you said, if you say yes, I will still do it. I will still do it. You'll get punished. But if you say, oh yes, parents said you will never do it again, I say, yes, mom, I will never do it again. They will let you go. You will receive what? Mercy. Because you have accepted mercy. But you say, look, I'm right. I don't need your mercy. I'm justified in my own ways. What other excuses do we know of? Aha. Amen. So some people say, if I'm a sinner, then God will not be using me. I pray for somebody, they got healed. I prayed, 20 people gave their life to Christ. I preached, 1,000 people gave their life to Christ. Therefore, it's a sign of approval. I'm not a sinner. How true is that? What does the Bible say? He said, not all that call me Lord. He said, some will come to me. He said, in your name we cast out the devils. In your name we heal the sick. He said, I will say to you, go away from me. I know you not, you workers of iniquity. Some people will say, look, I've got a big church. There are 2,000 people in our church. There are 30,000 people in our church. In fact, our church have so many parishes. We have millions of people attending our church. If the individual does not work their salvation with fear and trembling, that day Jesus will say, go away from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. What other excuses do we know? Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Some will say that
they know that they are sinners and that they've committed so many sins,
yeah,
that by the time they stand before God, that the sins will be so much that God will be so annoyed with them that instead of them, when he throws, instead of them going into hell, they will go into heaven. You know, just shows you the absurdity with which people think.
Praise the Lord. Does God make mistakes? No. He will throw them. They will be right there at the center. You see, and even though we are laughing, do you know what group such people belong to? Eh? Do you know them? Okay, go to Psalm 1 verse 1. They are the people that this Psalm 1 verse 1 refers to. Okay? They are the scoffers. They are the scoffers. People who make light, who make jest of the words of God, who make jest, you know, of the things of God. They are the scoffers. They are the people that God is saying we should run away from. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. They are the scornful. They are the one who makes light the things of God. Another version says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands, that is, submissive and inactive, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and mockers gather. We will not find ourselves pitch our tents there in Jesus' name. So when we see people like that, what do? We just move away from them. They are discomfort. One more excuse before we go. One other excuse that we know people give commonly. Okay.
There's no
hellfire. Okay. What does the Bible say about that? He said, does our unbelief make God a liar? He said, no. Your unbelief does not change God. It does not. If you choose not to believe, it simply will not change God. It doesn't change his words. Things will still remain the same, and God is true. He said, let all men be liars, and God be what? God be true. Let there be 6 billion people in the whole earth. Take one side and believe one thing. There's another one that the people of the other religion say, and some of us copy it. If anyone can guess it, you know, you get something special from me. No, it's similar to what has just been said now. Okay, maybe you want me to say it without wasting time. They will say the voice of the people is the voice of God. Have you heard that before? Yes. They say the voice of the people is the voice of God. So which means if everybody, you know, that's like in democracy, if everyone votes one way, then it means that's what God likes. The voice of the people is the voice of God. The voice of the people is not the voice of God, oh. According to my Bible, it's not the voice of God. We have seen millions of people go wrong, and only a few people were right. Those who followed what God says in his word, they are the people who are right. It's not how many people are on another side. If you like, let the whole of Australia approve of homosexual marriage. It does not make it correct. It's not the voice of God. God will not change his mind. If you like, let the whole of Australia say, look, we support abortion. God will not, because of that, change his mind. Because he says, I am God, and what? And I change not. Praise the Lord. Can we rise up and pray, please? I don't know what excuse you've got in your life right now. Where you are at, can you just ask God and say, Father, enough of excuses. It may not be in your life. It may be in the life of somebody you know. Just say enough of excuses. Ask that God will open your eyes, or remember that person and say, Father, open their eyes to see where they stand. Open their eyes to see where you stand also. If they are not on the same side with you, Father, let there be a rearrangement. Whatever it will take you, draw them close to yourself. Draw such a one to yourself. Draw me to yourself, oh Lord. I want you to speak to the Lord this morning. We have heard no excuse is good enough. No excuse is good enough. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. No excuse is good enough. Can you just speak to the Lord now? No excuse is good enough. Father, we don't want to go against you. We want to stand with you. Like Enoch, we want to walk with you. We want to see life. We want to be blessed. We desire long life. We desire your blessings. We desire your approval. Father, touch us, O Lord. Break the hold of every kind of excuse upon every life here this morning. Lord, every excuse in any way that the God of this world has tried to hold us captive or blind our eyes, my Father, my God, this morning, release us, O Lord. Release your children, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.